Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Right now, don't pay until spring 2021 on the Mercedes-Benz C300 4MATIC sedan. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.
Yesterday, we talked about the Flames and specifically prospects at the World Juniors on our Daily Flames Roundtable. We're going to keep that theme going today, kind of a different spin on it. Welcome back to the program. It is our Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. My name is Pat Steinberg. He's Will Nault, and he is Logan Gordon. And guys, the Flames have their two first-round picks from the last two drafts at Team Canada Selection Camp. And we know there's some stuff going on with Selection Camp right now that isn't great. But both Jacob Pelche and Connor Zary are there. So let's start there. We talked a little bit about their chances of making Team Canada yesterday. But let's apply it instead to the NHL. And for both guys, we've talked a little bit about this with Zary. But Logo, if you're the Flames and you're projecting a few years down the road, when's a realistic time to think that Jacob Pelche, Connor Zary can start pushing for NHL work?
I would say as first rounders, I would expect them out of junior, once they're done with their junior eligibility and ready for pro hockey, based on the fact that they're a first round pick and of what we've seen so far, that they would start at least pushing for NHL work or being an NHL consideration then. So probably 2 years away at least for Zary. Possibly next season-ish, I'd expect Pelche to make a little bit more noise. I think there's an expectation and a skill level that comes with being a first-round pick. I don't think that the organization is in a desperate need to rush these guys. I think that they've had lots of first-round picks in different scenarios come in and jump right to the NHL and be impact makers from the start, but that's, I think, very rare and something that shouldn't be expected of these guys, especially like Zary and Pelche that were lower down in the first round. So I would give him probably another year at least for Pelche to start doing that, and probably two for Zary, I think, is fair. But it's very hard to project out exactly when the openings are going to come up or if someone's able to take a big leap, Will. So as much as it's, you know, just me saying that, I still find it a hard exercise sometimes to predict when someone's going to be ready for that.
Yeah, I think the accurate prediction would be, you know, kind of looking at it as we've talked about before with Zary. It wasn't too long ago we had a very similar discussion about Connor Zary, and I had mentioned the 2 year window that's kind of in front of them, where they've got the end of Tkachuk's little bridge deal, if you want to call it that, and obviously Johnny Gaudreau's mega deal would come to an end, as would the captains on the back end. You've got some roster space there, likely some flexibility, perhaps money wise. I would suggest that, not that, you know, Zary and Pelche are breaking the bank on their entry level deals, but I would say that's when you are expecting them to compete for a camp, for a spot in camp. I would think just size based. I would say Zary's a little more pro-ready than Pelche is, but Pelche has had a great junior career, and you know, all early returns from the selection camp in Red Deer have been very positive for both guys. So I think both guys are going to play in the NHL. I think Zary might get there quicker than Pelche, but I would say that in 2 years' time, the 2022 training camp, Pat, is when we're going to be having more real discussions about these two players.
What's really interesting is that both of these guys, like, they're in their same year of eligibility. Their draft eligibility was different, but their junior hockey years are the same. They're both 01 draft picks, and as such, they'll both be eligible for AHL hockey at the same time. So this is their 19-year-old season this year. Pelche has been playing. He was able to get some games in the QN, and Zary not able to play, obviously, in the Western League. But next season, the 21-22 season, they'll both be eligible to play in the American League. And I'm really curious as to which way the Flames go about it. I know that the first training camp, they wanted to give Pelche kind of that extended look, and they kept him around a little bit longer just to give him a little bit of a taste. I don't believe there was ever a chance that he was going to crack the NHL roster and get a 9-game debut or anything like that. But they wanted to keep him around longer just to give him that taste. Now, I don't know if they'll have that same ability with Zeri this time around, because good chance the World Juniors will be going on while Zeri would have been at Flames training camp. So maybe that opportunity doesn't exist this time around. But I'm kind of with you, Will. I don't know, like, if one of or both of those guys as 20-year-olds in training camp 2021, fall 2021, if they push for jobs and it's clear that they can play or that they need to be in the NHL, sure, you make space for them. But I don't think you need to be rushing it. Like, you have the potential of getting a free year in the American League with Zeri on an entry-level slide. You have the opportunity with the depth that you have created over the last few years to let these guys spend a year or two in the American League and get more pro-ready before moving them to the NHL. So you always have that door open, but I think maybe more of a realistic timeline for both would be training camp 2022. That's kind of where I'm thinking as well.
Yeah, it just seems to kind of line up. And as I, you know, we talked about before, I think you had it in your article with Flames Nation about some different deadlines with Zeri. I think there's an opportunity to have the contract slide. And again, if you can do that, you set yourself up better in the long run. Obviously, if he pushes and proves that he needs to be in the NHL before then, well, then you make room for him. But I think ideally you'd like them to compete for the 2022-23 season. And it does appear anyways right now to be kind of lining up in that perfect situation or lining up kind of right there where you don't have to adjust timelines and don't need them to push sooner than that. So and as an organization, you're never going to be upset or displeased when players push earlier than their projections. But I would say if you look at the whiteboard in Treliving's office right now, yeah, I would suggest their projection is for the 2022-23 season.
We are on our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. His name is Logan Gordon. He's Will Nault. My name is Pat Steinberg. And guys, since Brad Treliving and his management group took over for the 2014 draft, and they took over with a couple of good prospects already. Sean Monahan was drafted the year before. Johnny Gaudreau was drafted in years prior. So they had a decent group of prospects already that had started to be built by the prior regime. But Logo, how would you evaluate, since this current management group took over, how would you evaluate their job in stockpiling and bettering this group's prospect list?
I think you'd have to give it a pretty high mark when you're looking at grading that sort of thing for Brad Treliving and company. I think they've been able to find some late round steals. They've been able to, I think, even in the last draft, adding some assets. I really think even going back to just the recent draft and adding those 2 third-round picks and still coming out with Connor Zeri is a really big win and a really impressive thing. Even if those don't turn out, you know, a lot of these later picks are almost lottery picks in a lot of ways, and you're hoping for something to come of that. So why not give yourself more of a chance? And so moves like that, I think, have been really shrewd. I think they've done a good job bringing guys up to the NHL level too, which I think is sometimes half the battle. You can draft a good player, but developing them and actually progressing them to the NHL can be a difficult task for a lot of teams. I think they've done that very successfully since they got here. And the variety of you know, players that they've taken from different countries or different types of players, they haven't been afraid to take a risk on guys. I think that this has been one of the most successful aspects of Brad Treliving and company since they took over, Will.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think the way that they've been able to stockpile, and we've talked about this a lot, Pat, not to take anything away from previous regimes, but ever since Brad Treliving has come in, it's probably been, and you've been around the team a long, long time, Pat, correct me if I'm wrong, or if you've got a different opinion, I'd love to hear it. But obviously the job they did in the 80s and you know, to build up to that championship in 89 was a great job of stockpiling young assets. Theo Fleury was obviously a late round find from Moose Jaw, but I would suggest that ever since Treliving has come in and taken over, and the drafting in that era has been the best in this organization's history. And, you know, you look at the last few years, for an example, it's multiple guys per year, per draft year that are playing NHL games. And mm-hmm. That's kind of what you want. And up until Treliving has come in to Calgary, it's been really hard to get there. And that's not to take shots at Daryl Sutter or Jay Feaster, but It's been night and day, I would suggest, since Brad True Living has come into the organization.
Yeah, and I like the draft record. I'm 100% in agreement with. I know that the 2014 draft did not net a ton in their first draft. Bennett still playing, but for the most part, really nothing still from that draft. But ever since,
I'm not sure how much of that was true, though.
And that's always what I've said. Like that management group had been on the job for only a few weeks, if I remember correctly, because Brad True Living was only hired 6 or 7 weeks prior to that year's draft, and then he named Conroy and Pascal as part of the management group a number of weeks later. So like that really wasn't their draft. And so the first real draft that group had was 2015, and that's where you see the stark contrast in a positive way that this group has had drafting players. They changed the philosophy. We've had Conroy on talking about that before in how they changed their philosophy. And so it really has taken a step forward. Now, I mean, there were some good years prior to that, but if you were to take a look at the overall record of Jay Feaster or Daryl Sutter or Todd Button, Craig Button, of their general manager tenures, it's just nowhere near as good. And the other thing that I think needs to be taken into account, Flames have done a pretty good job, Will, of when they haven't had a ton of draft picks, making the best of them. That's number one. And then also looking outside the draft and going after prospects. I think the work that they've done at their summer development camp and some of the work that they've done in identifying guys who they haven't drafted has really helped this team as well. I mean, I take a look at Lou was talking about Johannes Kinval in Sweden when he was on with us earlier. I take a look at how many people are high on Connor Mackey. Neither of those guys were drafted by the Flames. David Rittich was not a drafted player by the Flames, and he may not be the number one guy long term, but he's still an NHL goaltender that they were able to get without spending a draft pick. Josh Juris may not be playing in the NHL anymore, but at the time, he was a guy who played NHL games for them that they didn't draft. They were able to sign as a prospect free agent. And I think that's another area that maybe doesn't get talked about as much, but it's another really important area of the strong job this team has done in stockpiling their prospects and refilling the cupboards that were nowhere near as full when they took over.
Yeah, Artem Zagadulin, obviously in that category as well. But yeah, and not to forget that, yes, I know Glenn Gaudin was drafted, but the Flames were able to pounce on him.
They didn't draft him.
Nope, he was drafted out of St. Louis and not signed, and the Flames pounced. And he's a guy that many believe will play NHL games as early as next season, if not beyond. And who knows how long the NHL life is. But again, there's a prospect that you essentially spent no assets on, and those are automatic wins in the organization. So, yeah, the ability to rebuild or restockpile the assets and the cupboards inside your organization has been really good under Brad True Living. And I think a lot of that is obviously started with Johnny Gaudreau. I know he didn't draft him, but Craig Conroy is on that staff. And ability to bring him in when everyone thought there was a great chance he was going to spurn them and give them a stiff arm. Well, now it's changed, and they've been able to bring in some really good college free agents. So it's been a nice job. And I was going to bring this up first, but I had to say those names while they were fresh in my mind. But you mentioned Josh Juris, and still to this day, might be the most unique skating stride in the history of the NHL, I think.
Yeah, and yet, you know, especially the 1 year, was a pretty big contributor as a bottom six forward for the team. And I know that he's not playing in the NHL as a regular anymore.
For one season,
but still, to get that for one season out
when
of a guy
everything
didn't
went
draft,
right for the team.
It really did. That was a pretty good way to pick up a team as a first-year general manager. Hey, when
probably got Josh
Juris right.
A couple million dollars, too. So.
Absolutely, it did. I believe Garnet Hathaway was one of theirs as well. And again, Hathaway's not with the team anymore, but there's another undrafted free agent that they were able to bring in and was pretty good for the team. So they've done a good job stockpiling prospects through the draft and otherwise. And they've got two right now at Team Canada Selection Camp in Jacob Pelche and Connor Zary. Talking prospects with Logan Gordon, Will Nall, Pat Steinberg on today's edition of the Daily Flames Roundtable.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Right now, don't pay until spring 2021 on the Mercedes-Benz C300 4MATIC sedan. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.